better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. I'm JT, and I'm here with the indefatigable Joseph Worthington.
That's right. Never sleep, Worthington. Indefatigable. I don't fatigue.
Yeah, you don't fatigue. You're kind of unstoppable in that way.
Fuck yeah, bruh.
That's a good line.
Speaking to my character.
I am. It's the truth. My friends, for some of you out there, you're probably wearing flip-flops and you're probably wearing sneakers. But we're going to talk about...
Not at the same time.
Maybe not at the same time. That's a different look. That's bad for your jiu-jitsu. We're going to explain why. We're going to explain why the common build-up... Don't get me wrong. I like me some Air Max 90s. I like me some Jordans.
I don't.
No, but I mean, I used to. Sorry, I should say I used to. But I don't play that game no more because what I mess with now... These bad boys.
Mm.
Ooh, yeah, get that Vivo, get that duck foot.
Yeah, I got some going on too. Ooh, right, yeah. Here.
It's the goods.
Yeah, we're talking about footwear and why footwear is fucking you up.
Yeah.
Now, James, tell me why this is relevant to a jiu-jitsu person, because we don't wear shoes when we roll.
Exactly, and that's why.
I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
Hey,
newsflash.
No shoes on the mat. I don't wear shoes when I lift. I haven't for many, many years because I was told from people much higher up than me that if you want to use and access more muscles of your leg, it's much better to be training barefoot. And also, you should know, if you're going to drop a 20 or 25 kilo plate on your foot, sneakers are not going to actually save your toes, just so you know. So that aside, really, we've been sold on this sneaker thing, running, heel striking, blah, blah, blah. Actually walking around with a built-up heel is really bad for your Achilles. And also jamming your toes into these weird sneaker shapes is actually pretty bad for your foot mechanics long term. This has a lot of kind of flow-up effects in terms of how it affects your calves, your hamstrings, your hips, and ultimately your knees. And we just don't think about it. We just go, oh, yeah, everyone wears shoes. We'll just wear shoes. And actually... Jiu-jitsu people do get ankle problems, and often what happens is we don't think about looking after our feet, and shoes and flip-flops are fucking it up.
So we're saying, to come back to that, why it's relevant for the jiu-jitsu folk, that you want to move as well as you can on the mats.
You want to squat better.
And so if you're living your life wearing footwear all the time, mm-hmm. and just, let's say, conventional footwear, that's limiting your ability to move well and have good mobility and function and on the mat.
And long-term disabling you, like long-term bunching your feet up and making your Achilles tighter, making your squat worse. But here's the other thing. Don't get me wrong. We have advocated people bringing like flip-flops to the gym so they can go to the bathroom for hygiene purposes. But here at Jungle Brothers, which is a barefoot gym, people rock the Birkenstock. That's a bit of a thing.
Birkies are the same shit though. Really? Yeah. So, all right. Well,
let's talk about this. So Havaianas is the Brazilian phenom.
That's right.
Everybody's rocking the
Havaianas. Or if you're an Aussie, Havaianas.
Havaianas?
But if you're in Brazil, Havaiana.
Havaiana. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for translating.
Shout out to our Brazilian compadres.
Much
bit of Spanish there.
But I used to... I used to always get them because I saw everyone wearing them.
Yeah, they were the sickest.
This is the Brazil thing. You get the little flag on there and I'm repping.
Yeah, I'm a blue belt now, baby.
Right. Everything's blue. I got the Brazil blue thongs. You name
I got
it.
The fucking the sunga, the little short swimmers.
Yeah. 150 eyes. I'll rock that. I'll rock that fat boy bikini. No, it's one of those things that...
Savage.
What?
Fat boy bikini.
Yeah.
I'm actually a fan of the sunga. Just going to put that out there.
It's not bad.
Just culturally, it just doesn't fit here in Australia. But when I'm there, I'm like, yeah, these are cool. Like we wear Speedos.
Sure.
People look at the sunga and be like, huh, it's gay. You're like, first of all, it's not cool to say that anymore. But second of all, it's like we wear Speedos. Like the alpha dudes wear Speedos.
Yeah,
and so you're like, if you're talking about skin and shit, there's no...
No, if you're packing much front, you're not afraid to wear that tight piece walking out the cold water. I wear shorts. But all I was going to say with that is this is something, and actually
– thongs were the thing. Thongs have been a convenient footwear choice.
Here in Australia, we call flip-flops thongs. So our American cousins are like, y'all wear thongs on your feet? What the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
And so we're just talking about flip-flops. But what this does, and actually Kelly Starrett brought this up. Kelly Starrett is kind of supple leopard fame at the Ready State. Very smart guy. And he's like, if you're an athlete, don't wear flip-flops. Because the mechanics of your foot wearing flip-flop, to keep it on your foot, you have to grip. So when you are walking, you're doing this quite unnatural gripping action with your big toe. And it actually shortens up the tendon in your big toe that runs up. And that actually is really bad for the arch of your foot and bad for your foot mechanics in general, which means your squat will be worse, your Achilles will be way tighter, your calves will be tighter. And this actually doesn't make you more athletic, even though it's convenient. And so I actually stopped wearing – I rocked the Jesus sandal. Not officially worn by Brethren. Jesus. But the Earth Runner, a lot of people are getting up on this now. I saw Mark Bell the other day. He's got his version, the Power sandal.
Right on.
Whatever. But the difference here is it has a heel strap.
Yeah.
So the heel strap means it can just sit on your foot and your foot mechanics can just play the way you want. In a natural way. And the difference is we've all been taught to kind of strike with our heel. That's why we've had all these padded heels, Air Max, you know, any kind of amount of cushioning to strike with our heel. But if you walk around barefoot or if you run barefoot, you'll know that you don't strike with your heel if you're running around on concrete. You have a tendency to run on your toes. And if you're running quite fast, you will actually really push off your toes. You'll stay on your toes as you run.
Well, 4 foot, not toes.
I should say. Thank you for the clarity there.
Let's take, because there's two big talking points, I think, in what you just said. The first being like flip-flops and sandals and that kind of thing. So here's what we're getting at today is that conventional footwear tends to detract from the mechanics of your legs,
yes.
Right, which affects everything upstream, as JT said. So talking about like flip-flops and sandals and that whole thing, when you take a step barefoot, there's an interesting thing that happens where the moment you touch the ground, like there's tension created because you're loading the foot. And then as you step off that foot and onto the other foot, there's actually like a relaxing of the lifted foot. And this happens when you run as well. And it should stay relaxed until it starts to contact the ground again. And so there's this tensioning, relaxing. With that clenching that you need to do to keep your thongs or your sandals or your Birkenstocks on, there you have no relaxing.
Yes.
So it's a constantly tensed foot and ankle sort of complex, which results in you being excessively tensioned in that area and creates tight ankles. So this is where, like, it seems really like most people don't think of it. They're like, oh, I've spoken to people about being barefoot and they say, I wear thongs all the time.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, like my foot is exposed to the elements, but it's a completely different thing, right? Being barefoot and wearing flip-flops or thongs. That's the first piece to acknowledge. Now, where you know, as we're talking about this, people have to keep in mind there's dosages that are okay.
Of course.
Right? If you're wearing thongs to jiu-jitsu and then when you get off the mats and back home, no big deal. You're wearing thongs to the beach, you know, and then back, no big deal. But if you're the kind of person that you wear like flip-flops every day, you're rolling around in them 80% of the time, 50% of the time, that's an issue because now that's the thing that you're spending the majority of – your foot is spending the majority of its time in and that foot is starting to become molded to the behavior that footwear allows it to have.
That shape, yeah.
Yeah, and so this is where like some people can get away with it. Like sure, if you've got really good ankle mobility, you could probably get away with it a bit more. Mm. But if you are the kind of person that struggles with tight ankles – and a good test of that is like, can you comfortably squat with your heels down on the ground?
Yeah.
Like if you can kind of comfortably squat, your ankles aren't too bad. If you can't, your heels lift, you probably got tight ankles.
Yeah.
So for that kind of person, we would typically say like, just don't wear thongs.
Yeah.
Like don't wear them. It's not a footwear choice. Yes, jiu-jitsu, that's fine.
Sure.
Go to the toilet, whatever. But like if you're going out for a Saturday and you're wearing thongs.
You shouldn't be walking around.
Yeah, no, it's fucked up.
Yeah, don't do that. And I mean, extending this to our sisters who have to wear elevated heels. And that's the thing I've always felt is really unfair. You know, there's a fair expectation that if you have a professional job that often...
Corporate job.
Yeah, corporate job women
looked apart.
Yeah, you've got to have the good shoes, right? Like that's a real thing. And shortening up your Achilles in that way has really bad upstream effects also on the lower back because of the position it puts you in with your pelvis.
Well, that's why the heels were a thing, right?
Yeah.
Because it forces the lower back into – or forces that lordosis, which
yeah. – is not, know. Not good long term.
No.
And so then it's like, okay, what are we going to do to counter this? Because don't get me wrong, like as a young impressionable teenager, I was really sold on basketball, obsessed with Michael Jordan, like, oh, Nikes are so cool. It's all about what's cool, right? And then over time, as I've come to be more educated about these things and spent a bunch of time running, what I realized is the more I ran in sneakers, the worse my squat got. And the harder I had to work on my calves, my Achilles, just my upstream mechanics to counteract the running. And as soon as I exited the running and I just focused on my squatting, it's like, wow, this is so much easier. And I didn't have to spend so much time working on opening up my feet and all of this. So that's why I, for such a long time, have been such a big anti-runner. Like that's I think if you're trying to really improve your biomechanics, like say you spend all day in work boots or you spend all day in business shoes. The business shoes tend to cramp your feet up, and if you're wearing steel caps, that also impinges on the feet a bit too. I've been wearing some steel caps lately, so I know where it's at. You will have to take a little bit of time to open up your foot. And so we've talked about that before, about rolling out the arch of the foot just to get the foot open and then doing a certain amount of work just to get your ankles working well before you start putting a bar on your back and doing all that. If you can improve your footwear and spend less time kind of binding your feet, then you don't have to spend as much time undoing the badness.
Yeah.
And so it's an efficiency thing there.
So I think to finish that flip-flop thing, as JT said, with these sandals and whatnot that are gaining some popularity, I know you've got some. I actually used to have some like that.
Oh, yeah?
That I got after reading Born to Run.
Okay, yeah.
Did you ever read that?
Is that about the Tara Umara?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have read it. It's a great book.
It's a great book.
And those sandals are based.
They were the thing. They were the same thing. Like actually, they looked pretty much exactly the same as the ones you rock.
Mm.
I think they were Luna. Right. Luna sandal.
Yeah.
Had them for a while, never really wore them, and I ended up fucking giving them away or something. But when there's a strap around the heel, that means that you don't have to clench your toes every time you're taking a step. And this is just the pivotal thing. Sandals and thongs or sandals and flip-flops don't have that heel strap. So when you've got a heel strap, the thing stays connected to your foot. You can keep good mechanics. Now, should we go to like footwear, like conventional shoes? So office shoes, sneakers, Converse, yep. Nike Air Max, all the cool shit, right? What are the key things that this type of footwear does to your foot that is problematic?
So there's two key things. One, it shortens our Achilles just residually. By having an elevated heel, that shortens our Achilles. It forces us up in this way, which if you've already got tight Achilles, it makes it worse. The other thing it does is it trains us to be in the habit of having this cushion and being striking with our heel. And actually, this isn't necessarily the best way, especially if we're walking on concrete.
Now, there's a third thing before we dive in,
which is the bunching up of the
toe box.
The toe box.
Yeah.
And actually, you know, Squat University has been pretty, for those of you, Dr. Aaron Horschig.
He's developing a shoe.
Yeah, he's got the wide toe box Olympic lifting shoe.
Right.
Because he's into Olympic lifting. Great. I think he could be a doctor of physiology or he's a biomechanist. Anyway, he helps the strongest people in the world get stronger. And he's not like a super huge jack dude. He's just a super smart guy. He's very analytical. And he for a long
time. I love that you specify he's not a super huge jack dude.
Which is disappointing.
But he's still a cool guy, guys.
Still smart.
Like he can still be trusted.
It's acceptable. It's acceptable.
it speaks to like your inner values or you're like, oh no, this guy's jacked. So what's up?
It's disappointing. You disappoint. I'm not impressed with your performance. No, it's like he's this really smart guy. So yeah, you can learn from him, but I just wish he would use more of his knowledge to be stronger.
So like, can we
so step to the side, Joe, you sidetracked me, bro. He, so Squat University on Instagram at Squat University is always talking about the toe box. And how bunching up your toes, whether it be women's shoes or just sneakers, anything like that, it doesn't allow us to fully spread our toes, which means we don't get the full use of our foot. And long term, This creates problems in the foot, the ankle, the knee, all the way up the chain to the lower back. And so he's always encouraging people to do certain movements and exercises to counteract this. And he is currently working on a project to design a shoe so that you can do Olympic lifting with a wide toe box.
Just to clarify, there's been so many people that have been speaking this, right?
Like, oh, yeah, years.
Before Squat University. Yeah,
what's it called? Like, the Foot Collective.
Yeah, there's Foot Collective, my man, barefoot running coach and podiatrist Tim Branson down in Wollongong. You know, a lot of people have been talking about the benefits of barefoot.
This is not but new, it's, guys. No, but we're going to bring it to your attention.
But it's still something that's kind of niche within the movement or the fitness realm. Mm. I think, like, to give a simple kind of conceptual understanding for folks, shoes are something that we've invented. Footwear was never a thing. What we have always done, you can imagine, like, as our ancestors would have done, is try to create something that protects the bottom of the foot, right? And this is where the idea of, like, animal skins or some kind of primal sandal kind of thing comes into play. But essentially, like, our species have been barefoot since the beginning of our time.
Yes.
Right? Hundreds of thousands of years. Now, what that means is that the mechanics of the foot are very well designed to do what they have to do.
Yes.
Now, in the last, when did Nike invent the sneaker? Was it in the 70s?
Kind of 69, 79, right. Yeah.
So then all of a sudden, like, Nike, like, this brand was like, hey, here's this fucking stylish leather thing that goes around your foot. And from that point onwards, we became a species that were wearing shoes. Now, the way I kind of like to make people think about it is, like, imagine you're trying to play the piano or a guitar or something that requires dexterity of your fingers and hands.
Yes.
But you're wearing, like, gloves or mittens. You don't have touch sensitivity. You don't have the coordination. If you're wearing mittens, you don't even have individual use of the fingers.
Right.
It's essentially, in many ways, the same thing that we've done to the foot. We've created, by putting our feet into shoes all the time, we've created unintelligent feet.
Yes.
And unintelligent feet don't have good sensitivity. They don't have coordination. They're weak. Like, there's a whole bunch of shit we could say, right?
But there's also a class thing around this as well, right?
Of course. But this is very classical of the West, isn't it? Because, yeah, like, if you go for a walk around the city barefoot, people are going to judge you. Like,
homeless?
Yeah, what's right? Like, homeless people don't have shoes.
Yeah.
But here's the interesting thing. I actually know a lot of people. Like, we train barefoot in our gym.
We do.
Barefoot gym. A lot of people are embarrassed to show their bare feet.
Yeah.
Right? Because they got fucked up toes and squished and, you know, and they're like, and it's a thing. And it's because, well, we've all agreed that, like, footwear is what we do.
Yes.
But the result is we've all got fucked up feet. Mm. I always notice this when I go to, when you travel to more of a developing part of the world.
Yeah.
You see it in Brazil. You see it in Indonesia.
Yeah.
You see it in Mexico. People are often barefoot. And you'll see feet that are, like, wider, and the toes are spread apart and the feet look strong.
Yes.
And the ankles look strong and the car. And you're like, man, like, you, if you're someone like us that's into this kind of physical development.
That. Admire that.
Yeah, you're like, wow, that's a really healthy foot.
Mm.
You don't see a lot of feet like that in the West. Gentlemen, y'all strive for gold in your life, right? Gold medals, gold watches, gold everything. However, there is a certain type of man who goes the extra mile. He walks with confidence of a lion and he giggles in the face of danger. He's a big, hairless, winning machine. And when he unzips his pants, he sees platinum. That's right. Manscaped would like to announce that their biggest and best ultimate hygiene bundle, the Platinum Package 4.0, is now available worldwide. You too can have this same level of hygiene. You can get 20% off and free shipping when you use the code Grizzly at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. It's time you enjoyed the finer things in life. Get yourself a platinum package for your platinum package.
Side note, Kelly Slater. So when people, I think Hollywood, they or wherever it is, they put their hands in the concrete and they sign it.
Oh, yeah.
He did his feet because he has the full open triangle.
Does he?
His toes are super wide.
Yeah, right.
People found it really weird. It's because he's just been walking on beaches, surfing, like, since he was, like, 8 years old.
Wow.
Hardly ever wears shoes and has this fantastic toe spread. And that's why that guy has amazing balance and is the greatest surfer of all time.
So, you know, like, one of those it's Weston A. Price, who was, like, the godfather of – he was talking about ancestral nutrition, lifestyle stuff, like, back in the day. And I think he went to Papua New Guinea and he spent time with like, you know, legitimate tribes. Hunter-gatherer tribes, and he studied them. He studied their teeth, their hands, their feet, and he documented it. And there's these classic photographs that he took of the sole of a person's feet, someone from Papua New Guinea, and then he compared that. He had a photo next to it of like someone from back in the England or the States, the sole of their foot, and they were like wearing the leather-bound pointy toe.
Yeah.
And their toes are all squashed and the, you know, the foot's all like mangled, right? It's bound. Like it's like we see that now if you look at foot binding, the historical thing, you're like, that's so fucked up.
Savage.
We're really just a couple of steps removed from that.
We're doing it to ourselves.
Yeah. So it's such an old thing, but still somehow we just, most of us ignore it. And so this is where people have a hard choice to make because, yeah, you want to wear the cool shoes. And sure, we're not saying like you have to be barefoot 100% of the time.
Aren't we? Isn't that what we're saying?
I think you should be barefoot way more. For sure. I mean, whatever. You go to a wedding or some shit, wear some shoes, right? You got by permission. But generally speaking, like you want your feet to express themselves.
Sure. I think the difficulty now is what we're seeing is we live in cities more and less people have gardens. We've got less space. There's less lawn, you know, walking around at home barefoot. You know, I think also we've had a lot of fear put into us around,
what if you step on something?
Some broken glass, a needle, whatever. Like if you've got a park near your house, say you live in an apartment, but you know that they mow the park and they look after it, doing a bit of time barefoot, walking around, doing some calf raises, a bit of running, it's good for you. And I mean, I know Nike were like, yo, barefoot shoes. We're giving you no support, less shoe, at double the price.
Baboosh.
Clever. Not quite. That's the thing. The thing that really sold me on this was I was actually many years ago, there was a thing called, I think it was called Ugly Beast or something like that. It was a bunch of guys who used to be at Sydney Uni. They did a thing called The Chaser, which was all political satire.
Fuck yeah, that's the guy.
You know what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but they went on to do a bunch of other stuff.
I love that newspaper.
Yeah. And they did this thing where they're breaking down ad models, they're breaking down. They had a little segment called A Little Bit Bullshit where they'd go, honorary doctorates, a little bit bullshit, because like Morgan Freeman has 27 honorary doctorates.
Okay, yeah.
And they had his badge, doctor. It's just like he's just paid money to universities, so they give him a doctorate. They broke down sneakers and they did all the research on an elevated heel, arch support, all this stuff. It does nothing. The performance between someone running barefoot over a certain distance on a track versus somebody running in sneakers, the performance is not better in sneakers. And this is incredibly interesting because I'm someone who always grew up, wearing Kayanos, I'm going to run a marathon.
Oh, I used to love the Kayanos. Oh,
bro, I had the Kayanos 17, 19, 21. Oh, my God.
When we're in film industry, it was like, which Kayanos you got?
Well, yeah,
they were
you the got ones, the new ones. Yeah. Because if you've got like
big fucking heel.
Yeah.
Like a big elevation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You get really sold on it. And then there is some podiatrists out there who are like, well, you have to wear shoes. You have to support your arch. Well, how about get a stronger foot? Most people just don't know how to do it. And it takes time. Like you listening to this conversation, you can't just be like, all right, fuck shoes, I'm out. I'm just going to run around barefoot because your foot is not conditioned.
You'll wreck yourself.
Yeah, it does take time to strengthen your calves, strengthen your feet. But I guess the key thing we want to bring to people's attention here is, hey, like could you make one or two different choices to start improving your foot mechanics? And that will have really good crossover to you having stronger legs, better balance.
I guess someone at this point might be thinking, well, we train jiu-jitsu and I'm on the mats barefoot.
Yes.
And it's true you are. But the thing is with that is that the jiu-jitsu, like soft mats, it's not an environment that's giving much feedback to your feet because it's an accommodating, right, space. It's like if you lived your whole life on a soft mat, then sure, like it would make sense that could be what your body needs. But the world, the surfaces, the things that you're going to be on most of the time are hard. So your foot needs to be on things that are hard.
Yeah.
So whether it's timber floor, concrete, rock, whatever, like this is the surfaces you want to be on. You want to develop toughness in the feet. In the same way with your hands, when you start doing hanging for the first time, most people be like, fuck, man, this really hurts my hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it hurts the skin on my hands. And then after you've done it for a while, it just doesn't – you don't think about
it because you've
got tough skin. We're not saying you need to be like super, super calloused.
Iron palm training.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, those guys with just the fucking
– the filings just fucking knife hand striking into fucking steel, Jackie Chan style.
No, not that. But it's important that you develop your feet elsewhere from the mats, because the mats are not really a realistic environment.
No. And look, you know, that's the thing. I've always thought that, like, when I lift, I don't wear a belt, I don't wear wraps, I don't wear straps. Like, I lift according to thinking I'm translating this to jiu-jitsu. So even though if I do a little bit of stone lifting, I'll use a bit of belt grip, because you do need – like, I don't use tack or tacky, which is what most strongmen use, because it's very hard to stay close to the big stone. I try to keep it as just me in shorts and a shirt. That's what I prefer. Even though there's plenty of people who argue you will get stronger if you use a belt, I can't cinch up a weight belt when I'm going to – hang on a second. I'm going to just take you down. I'm just going to cinch up a weight belt. I try to make sure whatever training I'm doing off the mat is going to translate to the mat. I also live my life according to that. So what we can do is we can actually lose the flip-flops, lose the big puffy sneakers, and actually start to wear footwear, which isn't going to cripple us long-term and absolutely helps us be better in life and for the mat.
So here's a caveat to this where I think exceptions can be made. In terms of the training environment. So let's say you're in the gym and you're hearing this, you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to be barefoot more often. I get it. We obviously don't like sneakers from the point of view, particularly for lifting, because you're sitting atop a big fat layer of foam, which is unstable. And so it's kind of like trying to stand on pillows and perform your deadlift. It just, it doesn't make sense. You want connection to the floor. But for someone who's got really tight ankles, I will often say like, man, like, if your ankle mobility or lack of is impeding your ability to squat well and build strength and mobility through this exercise, I've got no issue with that person wearing some weightlifting shoes.
Sure.
Which have some heel elevation.
They do.
But it's hard. It's a hard-soled shoe. So it's essentially like a wooden block underneath your foot. It gives you that connection to the ground. Now, I'm not saying rely on that accessory forever, but if that's what enables you to get the benefit of the exercise now, while at the same time you're working on your ankle mobility, stretching your calves, you're improving that so that down the track maybe you don't have to wear these, you don't have to use this accessory.
Yeah.
That for me is fine. I think that's appropriate.
And actually I a cheaper option is just to use different levels of weight plate. So that way you can actually gauge where you're at. Like you might start with like a inch level elevation, 25 millimeters, but then you're like, I'm working on my mobility, I'm going to get a 2.5 kilo plate, which is only, you know, half an inch or 15 mil or whatever. And then you're gradually, you can actually actively look to reduce that. So you're over
progressing,
time.
The progressing or regressing the assistance in a sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think that's a really important distinction to make. But on that, I think there's never a case for training in your big puffy sneakers.
No.
When I see people posting that, they're like, oh, working on my deadlift, wherever, you're like, man, ditch the fucking sneakers.
Yeah.
Get some. So the shoes we showed at the beginning, we got these barefoot shoes. Vivo Barefoot is the brand we rock. They have a wide toe box.
Yep.
They have an extremely thin sole. So think of it just like a sheet that protects the skin. Yeah. And zero elevation. And that's all they are. And now some people look. So I know Jess. She's like, I just hate the way they look. I'm like, fair enough. If you hate them, you hate them. You know, whatever. You got to make your choice. Do you want to be fashionable? Or do you want
to
be
shout out to your bad knees, Jessel? I hope you watch this.
Hate to say it, but
love to say it.
But you can do it, right? You can be bare. You can buy barefoot footwear. Vivo and all these other brands do a range of like office footwear.
Yeah,
I got boots, like hiking boots from Vivo.
You also got like some leather kind.
Yeah, like suede, like desert boot,
more fashion style. Yeah,
yeah, they're fucking cool.
They're great.
I mean, they're wide, right? They look like a duck bill.
But
for me, I'm like, oh, they look great. I don't. Other people like they look shit.
Oh, fuck like, them. Like, it, well, look, it's like, care. It's one of those things. It's like, yeah, how much, it's like fashion versus function. It's like, yeah, I'm wearing Gucci. Yeah, I'm wearing Prada. Yeah, but your calves are $2. Like, it doesn't mean shit to me. Have you got Ferrari legs? Have you actually got wheels? Because if you don't have strength and mobility in your legs, then you just don't get as much respect. Like, clearly you move in circles where people give a fuck about how you look, not how you function. And that means maybe you need to change your circles. And I believe that when you move to jiu-jitsu and you're in that community, there's more people. I mean, obviously people get caught up with the gi fashion thing, but it's about what you can do. And that's the great equalizer, right? It doesn't matter what circle of life you came from, your education, nothing. What you can do on the mat is what matters.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm trying to get at here, all personal biases aside, is just if you have a healthier body, it doesn't matter what you wear, you're doing well, you know? And it's much better to have the option than not have the option. Strength and mobility gives you options. Lack of strength and lack of mobility does not give you options.
Yeah, you don't want to be the person that's taken like the summer holiday to a tropical place and there's a beautiful beach and the rocks and, you know, you're like cruising around, maybe taking some photos with your partner, Instagram and shit on the rock, and then you're like trying to move from the rocks into the ocean and you're like, and you got, you know, these weak, like degraded, like morph little feet because you've been wearing office shoes the whole time in your life back in the Big Smoke.
Yeah.
It's like you want to be like, you want to be comfortable in all of these environments. You want to be strong in all of these situations.
You want to be capable.
Yeah. And feet are really like, that's your one point of contact to the earth.
Yes.
Like arguably the hands are the next important thing, but yeah, the feet are like, it's an essential.
Yes.
So yeah, you got to have it. I'll give a cautionary tale, just a quick one.
Please.
When you remember the five finger shoes?
Oh,
the
yeah,
Vibram
yeah,
five fingers?
Of course, yeah.
So when they first came out, I was like, they're fucking sick. And I went to the States. It was at a time when the Australian dollar was, it actually peaked the weekend that I got there.
Oh, wow.
And it was an amazing couple of weeks in the States because everything was extremely affordable.
It was like a parody.
Yeah, and everything there is cheaper, like relatively yes, anyway. So I bought a bunch of shit. I bought some five fingers.
Right.
So I'm staying at Santa Monica and I'm like, man, these shoes feel fucking great. They were my first like proper pair of barefoot shoes.
Right.
And I was super excited, primal guy. I'm like, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to go down to the Venice Beach. I was staying at Venice, sorry. I'm going to go down to the Venice boardwalk and I'm just going to fucking mac it in these things.
Yeah.
And I went for this sick run and man, I was flying in these shoes.
Wow.
I was like, man, I felt so good. I was hammering it. I could feel the springiness of the legs. I could feel the way the foot was responding. And I hammered it all the way to Santa Monica.
Wow.
I did some training and shit. So I don't know, maybe I ran a couple of Ks or something.
Yeah.
Felt great for the rest of that day. For the next 2 weeks,
oh,
my calves were destroyed.
Dude.
Like I had the worst DOMS I've ever experienced of any muscle group.
Wow.
For the longest period of time.
Oh.
Like 2 days into it, I'm like, I gotta go see someone. Like I fucking hurt myself here. This is real bad.
Wow.
And it was okay, but it was a 2 week stint. I couldn't walk properly for like 3-4 days. I couldn't load the forefoot, you know? And anyway, the cautionary tale there is like I just went from 0 to 100 in this thing. And this is what we're saying. If you're not accustomed to being barefoot, you need to give your feet time to build up strength and familiarity with this new stimulus. So, you know, maybe you start to walk a little bit. Maybe if you are buying some barefoot shoes, maybe you just wear them for a couple of hours each day.
Yeah.
You know, don't go out for a run. Don't do what I did.
Hmm.
Ease your way into it. There is a case for people who have foot mechanics that are like some people do need orthotics. That is a thing. But the vast majority of people just need to strengthen their feet. So it's a personal journey worth going on. Just be smart about it.
For sure.
Fam, thank you. Guys, if you need help, you know where you can get us, bulletproof@bjj.com. Jump on the program, strength, mobility for jiu-jitsu, it's all there. If you use the code BJJPODCAST, you'll get 20% off your subscription. Our app will be dropping soon. We're in the final phases of testing now, so keep your eye out for that. For users of our program, once the app is ready, we will be transitioning you across to that. We'll take care of it and you'll be contacted in due time. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, thank you, we appreciate you. Please give us a comment. If you're on Spotify or whatever, leave us a review. We appreciate that.
Trust.
Thanks, fam. We'll see you next time.